The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in a peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace"? Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" And they kept silence, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the disciples and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all." He took a child and put him in their midst. And taking him in his arms, he said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in one things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, was married and was crucified for us, under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come in glory, judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. May be seated for the end of the day. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel for today. Meals had a great significance in the life of Jesus. His first public miracle took place at a wedding banquet in Canaan. He dined with publicans and other sinners, which scandalized the easily offended Pharisees. And then he dined with the Pharisees, which seemed to draw little notice among the excluded sinners. He occasionally overlooked the ritual washings before the meals, and that also bugged the finicky Pharisees. He also liked to tell stories about meals. He told the one about a rich man who paid no attention whatsoever to a poor man who barely had enough food and survived on the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. How surprised he was when their roles were reversed in the afterlife. He told another story about a banquet and how people were jostling for where to sit at the banquet, and someone chose that place of honor only to be told they had to sit at the lowest place. And they were embarrassed by that. Jesus left one thing out of that last story. He never did say what would happen if you put yourself at the lowest place at the banquet table, and you weren't called to come to a higher place. You might just get stuck down there. I always figured the lowest place at the banquet table was the children's table, right? I mean, that's how our family always was. And it was a card table or TV trays. That's where the children sat, away from the adults. Jesus, in today's lesson, raises the worth of children a great deal. Children were considered just property in Jesus' day. There was high infant mortality, so children died quite frequently early in life. And I think the result was people had less attachment to them. They pinned less of their hopes and dreams upon their children because they didn't want to be disappointed when their children died along with those hopes and dreams. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to be first, he must make himself the servant of all. Now that's a big risk. Jesus' words are hard for us to believe because our culture teaches us just the opposite. John Sheldon wrote, humility is a virtue all preach, but none practice, and yet everyone is content to hear. The master thinks it's good advice for his servant, the laity think it's good advice for the clergy, and the clergy think it's good advice for the laity. Or put another way, he who doth not toot his own horn might not get his horn tooted at all. If you make yourself last. In the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, J. Pierpont Finch, his philosophy was to get ahead by pulling the rug out of whoever was right above him on the corporate ladder. One by one, he pulled the rug out of others until he had climbed to the top of the corporate pyramid. And if it wasn't clear how utterly devoid of humility he was, he stands in front of a mirror and sings, "I believe in you." Now, before we judge him too harshly, there are certainly moments in our lives when we have done the same thing, when we've neglected others, when we've allowed competitiveness to make us think that we're better than others, when we have jealousy about what others have and we don't. Can we honestly say that we serve without any thought at all of reward, or that we serve simply out of the joy of serving, or that we desire the obscurity of service? There's a sufficient number of Pierpoint Finches in our lives to remind us regularly of how the world treats humility. You don't find very many best-selling nonfiction books suggesting for you to do anything less than to look out for good old number one. At the Last Supper, Jesus demonstrated his idea of service, not only in the giving of his own body and his own blood in what has become for us a sacrament, but he washed the feet of his disciples. Now, washing feet was pretty common in Jesus' day. You walked around in sandals in the dust all day, and your feet got dirty. And it was the job of your servant to wash your feet. Jesus told his disciples that they didn't have a choice. If they wanted to follow him, they had to allow him to become their servant. And so Jesus went to the cross. And he died there so that all of our sins could be forgiven. He sacrificed his life to be a ransom to pay for all of our sins. He died on the cross so that we might learn what children already know, to trust in God for all things. Now, there are some risks in putting yourself last, in offering to be a servant in the world in which we live. You might get ignored. Not everybody gets their picture in the Coffeyville newspaper. You might be rejected. You might be taken advantage of. And almost certainly you will be taken advantage of. But in your service, you learn what children already know, that we can trust in our Lord in all things. In a few moments, we're going to come up here and we're going to receive that meal in the Lord's Supper. At this table, we offer ourselves not only back to Jesus, but we offer ourselves to one another as well. Jesus came into the world to be a servant, and he sends us into the world to be of service to the world. May we boldly take the risk of serving him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.